Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I'm GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. We welcome you guys back to preview Minnesota's night Big Ten game this weekend against the Michigan State Spartans. It is a 7 p.m. kickoff on Big Ten Network as the Gophers take on a Michigan State team that is rolling hot, 4-1 coming off a 14-10 victory at Ann Arbor last week. So, Luke, I don't know that this game necessarily sets up for well for Minnesota, considering what they're dealing with injuries, with how hot Michigan State is. But you know what? If people want a preview, we're going to give them a preview, damn it.
Well, and here's the thing. It's going to be kind of an abbreviated preview, mostly because I got to get going and catch an airplane. But that doesn't mean that we're out of the boat. We're still rowing the boat, I think, right? There's been a little bit too much people jumping out, as far as I can tell, on the social media sphere.
Yeah, well, welcome to social media. Welcome to some of the people on Gopher Illustrated. Again, it's going to be a process considering, and I know you've heard this for some of you 30-plus years, it's going to be a process as Minnesota tries to get depth, and you've heard it over and over and over again, and you're starting not to believe it. Well, the issue is, for you, this is the best chance Minnesota's had to retool this roster, and I think in those 30-plus years, because of flexibility on the recruiting trail. It's unlike anything we've seen here. And again, if you're a Vikings fan or just a pro football fan in general, how do teams get better? That's through free agency more times than not. And the issue is, for Minnesota, there is no free agency. They can't outbid Wisconsin and Iowa for a kid, but they can have the charisma and the energy of Mr. PJ Fleck bring them back and get them, first of all, get them depth again. And then second of all, get them back to where they can be competing for Big Ten West championships like they were in 2014. And they almost were able to do in 2016. So that's the nice thing. Don't get out of the boat yet, folks, even though this weekend doesn't look like it sets up well. It's going to take some time, as we'll get into here with the injury report. You'll see why Minnesota needs to find some depth in recruiting here very quickly.
All right, so let's actually talk a little bit about that depth, especially as it affects this game. How about you get a little bit into injuries? We had a handful of guys go out in the game against Purdue, and obviously the lingering issues that have gone on throughout a normal football season.
Yeah, let's start the wide receiver position, where it's funny, again, people love depth charts, people love injury reports, and I'm very jealous of a place like Wisconsin, per se, because they get an actual injury report with where the injuries occur on Monday of game week, where we're lucky if Fleck addresses them at all. And I'm looking at the depth chart, I know what Fleck said Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. And so let's start with wide receiver, where Philip Howard has already been ruled out. He was ruled out on Monday from that head injury he sustained against Purdue, yet on the depth chart, he's listed as the starter. So, folks, when you see the depth chart come out, 80% of it is hogwash. It always has been. It's even more so under PJ Fleck. There's only a few things to note from it, and we'll get into that. But Philip Howard, Minnesota's leading receiver from the Maryland game, is already ruled out. So it looks like Mark Williams, of all people, is going to be getting a start in two wide receiver sets once again. We'll see how that happens, as we know how much the quarterback loves to target the other receiver not named Tyler Johnson. At right tackle, Minnesota's made a change because, unfortunately, Nick Conley looks like he's going to be out for a significant period of time. So that means that redshirt freshman from Victoria, Minnesota, he attended Meyer Lutheran out there. Sam Schluter is going to be making his first career start at right tackle. So now you have that 2016 O-line class that both of them redshirted. It looks like that one's going to be starting at right guard. The other one's going to be starting at right tackle. In terms of good news, PJ said yesterday that Jared Weiler looks to be back, and he looks to be starting at center for Minnesota. So Connor's going to slide back over to right guard. Vincent Calhoun's going to be the swing guard, and Jared Weiler's going to be back at center. When you look at things on the defensive line side of things, Nate Umlor looks to be drawing his first career start as a true freshman, someone from Allendale, Michigan. I just think that for what they're asking their defensive ends to do on that side, he makes a lot more sense at 6'5", 270 instead of Winston at 6'3", 245. Again, they're just being asked to really play their gap and hold their edge. And if that's what you want them to do, especially against a bigger offensive line in Michigan State, Nate Umlor getting his first career start makes a lot of sense. Gary Moore also looks to be drawing the start alongside of Steven Richardson. And then we get to the cornerback and safety position where your guess is as good as mine at this point. Unfortunately for Minnesota, Keandre Thomas, Minnesota's best corner, was ruled out on Monday. And again, if you have three guys ruled out on Monday of game week, that really doesn't bode well for you playing against Illinois. Just with how early you were ruled out, that's never really a good thing. So Keandre Thomas has been ruled out, Minnesota's best corner. Antoine Winfield remains to be out. PJ Fleck confirmed that as well, Minnesota's best secondary player, even though he is listed as the starting safety. Again, this is why you don't pay attention to really anything on the depth chart. So what does all this mean? That means that Minnesota has two healthy, and in quotation marks, healthy cornerbacks, because as we all know, Derek and I talked about it, Coney Durr is not 100%, and he looks to be starting at corner. Fleck even acknowledged he's like 80, 85%. How in the world are you going to throw out an 80, 85% healthy player in the Big Ten and expect results, especially as a cornerback? I have no idea how many snaps Coney Durr is going to get, but if he gets a significant amount, and unfortunately for him, if he continues to, you know, not look 100% out on the field and Minnesota's defense suffers because of it, you can be damn sure I'm going to be voicing my opinion about it, about everywhere it needs to be voiced to, because that's unacceptable to play a kid like Coney Durr if he's only 80, 85% healthy. I understand you want to preserve the red shirts of Ray Estes and Justice Harris.
Yeah.
But it's time to burn the red shirts because Coney's not healthy, and that means you have one healthy cornerback on the entire roster in Antonio Chenault. So I anticipate Ray Estes burning his red shirt on Saturday. I know we've talked about this for basically weeks now, but I do think it's going to come to fruition on Saturday. In terms of what's going to happen at safety, one name that is supposed to be back if he earns reps is Duke McGee, and he's not even listed on the depth chart. So
yeah,
what I would anticipate happening is Jacob Huff starts, and I think Duke McGee eventually earns it back because they need him to earn it back.
Mm-hmm.
So that means Kunle slides into the slot and is your nickel cornerback, and they'll mix in Kendarian Handy Holly as well because, again, if you burn that red shirt, by now, I mean, you have to continue to have him earn reps. The interesting part of this, Luke, and the only thing I'm going to put any volition into, is the quarterback part of this depth chart. So Connor is still starting. I don't think he's going to perform well, and I think there's going to be a quarterback change come Illinois. I've already voiced that opinion with Derek and Luke here on the podcast. But I think it's not going to be Demry Croft getting the reps. I think it's going to be Tanner Morgan.
Huh.
I think that Demry Croft is too far in the doghouse that it's just not going to happen. I don't think Seth Green is a realistic option just because of his lack of development here. And Tanner Morgan is the handpicked Fleck guy. So we've talked about it. The only game after this one, if Connor does continue to struggle in the passing game, which I'm not sure, you know, maybe he changes his best. Maybe he comes out and he's actually looking off receivers, which is a hell of a concept. And he's not throwing to his first read and only locking on him. He's not throwing off back his back foot. He's not bailing away from pressure that's not there. If he's, you know, maybe Connor takes a step forward, but if he doesn't, I think Tanner Morgan come Illinois is your starting quarterback, and he remains that way if he's healthy for the remainder of the season. So We will have to see if that happens again. That's me kind of going out on a limb there, but I feel that it makes the most sense. I feel that, you know, from talking with people I trust a lot, that's what the plan may be going into this week, but we'll have to see how Connor Rota performs. So, I mean, we mentioned all these different positions with injury. I mean, we're talking about guys like Mark Williams getting the start in two wide receiver sets, something I didn't think I was going to really ever be saying come Minnesota's Big Ten schedule. We're talking about both Connor Olsen and Sam Schluter as redshirt freshmen starting. We're talking about potentially a true freshman starting at corner. There is a true freshman starting at defensive end. Mm-hmm. And regardless of who the coach was here at the University of Minnesota for this 2017 season, this isn't the 9-1 season from last team. And I am so sick and tired of seeing that on social media, that this team won 9 games last year. Now they're probably going to win 4 or 5. You know, they very well might. But you guys all see now why Connor Rota never beat out Mitch Leiter. And I know how much of you guys were Leiter Island fans because you let me hear it. There's a reason Connor never beat out Mitch. And you can say it was staff stubbornness because they love Mitch Leiter. You're seeing the quarterback that Connor Rota really is come Big Ten play. And the why I thought that Demery Croft looked significantly better than him in the passing game in spring and fall camp. So, again, we'll see. Maybe Connor comes out and throws, you know, 60% of his completions, and he's thrown over 30 times a game. He throws for 250-plus yards. But, I mean, we also have to make sure things are realistic here because we have a true freshman as a swing tackle. We have – I mean, it's just – there's very little depth here. So, Luke, we'll have to see how that plays out against Michigan State.
All right, so when we look at Michigan State, you know, you look at the over-under, it's only 40 points. I guess that's not really surprising. You know, Minnesota hasn't had a lot of high-scoring games, you know, mostly because their defense has been, you know, fairly solid, but also because of their offensive footprint. So, you know, Michigan State kind of follows a similar philosophy. Their defense is kind of their identity. You know, they're pretty highly ranked. They actually run the ball pretty at a fairly, well, not nearly as high a clip as Minnesota, but fairly high when it comes to standard downs and pass downs. They rank 26th and 37th, respectively, in the country. But, you know, this looks to be kind of a defensive battle without question.
Yeah, well, on the Michigan State side of things, anyway, it looks to be a defensive battle. And you mentioned it. This is a Michigan State defense that when we start, let's start with Minnesota on the offensive side of the ball. And this really, really doesn't set up well for Minnesota because you mentioned this Michigan State defense. Their defense has been carrying their offense. When you look at, again, we're going to be referencing Football Study Hall here, looking at the 2017 Michigan State stats versus the Minnesota 2017 stats. And you look at how well their defense has been performing. In all 4 of their wins this season, their defense has performed at an 84% or higher clip, including their 3 wins against Bowling Green, Western Michigan, and Iowa. Their defense performed in that 90th percentile, which is just absurdly high with the amount of execution that they have. And again, this is a Michigan State team that had a +5 take-give last week against Michigan. Again, they only won by 4 points, but a huge part of that was because their offense has been struggling the last 3 games, but their defense has been kicking ass.
Yeah.
And like, you look at them on the defensive side of the ball, you look at, you know, the 5 factors that Football Study Hall really loves to dig into. I mean, the issue for Minnesota, and I'll talk about it in my keys of the game, is Minnesota needs to find some explosive plays, except Michigan's defense is the 5th best in the country at limiting explosive plays. Or Minnesota's running game needs to find some explosive plays more specifically, but the Michigan State defense is the 6th best run defense in terms of limiting explosive plays in all the country. And so you look at a couple of guys on that defense that are going to – people need to watch out for. One is Joe Bakke, someone that is a linebacker, a sophomore. He leads the team in tackles. I believe he leads the team in run stuffs. He leads the team in tackles for loss. I mean, the guy is a significant – you know, he's a big-time player. Another by the name of Kenny Wilkes, a defensive end who has 6 tackles for loss, 2 sacks, and he's 2nd on the team in stuff in the run. Again, this is a team that doesn't give up anything on the ground. And so you look at the recipe for success, Minnesota needs to be able to run the ball. Well, you're looking at a right tackle making his first career start. You have another redshirt freshman sliding back to guard for the first time since, I believe, the Oregon State game. That's going to take some time to adjust. I mean, I don't really see a recipe that Minnesota's not throwing 30 times in a game. And unless Connor Rhoda has significantly improved his process and moving off his first receiver, Michigan State does have 5 interceptions on the year. So Minnesota's offense is going to have to find some kind of success on the ground to make sure that Connor Rhoda isn't passing 30, 35 times a game. The issue is, I mean, we've talked about it on this podcast over and over, Minnesota as a running offense is the 7th worst in terms of explosive plays in the country. Yes, I mean, we talked about it last week, Luke.
Yeah.
I know that Rodney Smith and Shannon Brooks had their biggest runs of the season. The issue is the other 33 or 35 runs went for, on average, 3 yards a carry. So, yes, it's great to see those 2 big runs, but remember that in the long scheme of things from that game, 90-plus percent of those runs only went for 3 yards. That's not good. And Minnesota's going to need to find some explosive plays to get the crowd involved early. Spoiler alert, it's a key, one of my keys to the game. I mean, that's going to have to change against this Michigan State team, but this Michigan State team, especially on defense, has been performing extremely well.
All right, so let's get into when the Gophers are on defense. As you've already kind of alluded to, Michigan State isn't necessarily stellar on offense by any real stretch of the imagination. And they, you know, like when most people maybe saw them, they were very opportunistic on defense against Michigan. I think they forced 5 turnovers in that game, and still only won by 4 points, right? So that doesn't speak well of your offense. And they too, much like Minnesota, have mostly focused on the running game, and they aren't, you know, over, I'm not, they're successful, but they're not, you're not, they're not barn burners by any stretch of the imagination.
No, their point totals in their last 3 games, albeit against very good competition, Notre Dame, Iowa, and Michigan, they've only put up 18, 17, and 14 points. So that's how you kind of get to that 40 total.
Mm-hmm.
But again, this doesn't really set up well for Minnesota because of how injured they are. But let's start with their quarterback, Brian Lewerke, someone that is completing over 60% of his passes. He has a 9-2 touchdown to interception ratio. But where he really is a change in terms of from previous Michigan State quarterbacks, the folks may remember guys such as Connor Cook, who's now with the Oakland Raiders, is Brian leads the team in rushing. He has 341 rushing yards for 3 touchdowns. It's averaging 7 yards a carry. And I believe he's averaging over 60 yards a game on the ground.
Right, and this actually skews kind of their perception, right? Like, because he runs so much, even on passing downs, he's a threat to run. So, it, you know, the advanced analytics, while, you know, they speak to them being, you know, a run-heavy team, that doesn't necessarily mean that's what they intend to do on every play.
No, they haven't had a lot of success with the running backs. L.J. Scott has 58 rushes for 214 yards. That's less than 4 yards a carry. That's not very good.
No.
Andre London is less than 4 yards a carry. Gerald Holmes is less than 4 yards a carry. All, I mean, these are their 3-headed running attack, and they just haven't had a lot of success with their offensive line. You look at especially short yardage situations where Minnesota's really excelled this year. Minnesota's ranked the number 32 and the number 34 on short and 3rd and short and 4th and short. Michigan State is bottom 20 on both of those categories, which tells me their offensive line hasn't done a very good job. Now, maybe it's just teams are really stacking the box like Minnesota has been. Minnesota's offense has been running into, but Brian Lewerke is someone that Minnesota's going to have to account for and make sure that they don't lose contain on him. Because, again, he likes to use his legs. He runs more than 10 times a game. He's had a lot of success doing so. So the other thing to note here is Brian has also taken 6 sacks. Again, that's only basically a sack a game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but at least it's something for a Minnesota defense that needs to get after the passer here. So, again, this is a team that really wants to establish the run. They haven't had a lot of success doing so. And if they are going to pass the ball, it's going to go to Felton Davis III, someone that is leading the team in targets, leading the team in catches, leading the team in receiving yards, leading the team in touchdowns. Again, not a huge amount to go around there, only 22 catches for 265 yards and 4 touchdowns, but they are a team that do like to throw the ball from time to time. So they aren't really going to target their running backs out of the backfield, so they're really only going to throw their receivers. But again, the key for Minnesota here is they're going to have to continue to stop the run like they've been successful at in the non-conference. Again, they've been susceptible to it here through 2 Big Ten games because of a couple missed assignments, but make Brian Lewerke throw. And again, I know he's been successful at doing it, but I mean, I'd much rather have you try and air it out against a secondary that, again, needs a lot of help than watch Michigan State run it 40, 50 times and Minnesota never gets the ball back on offense.
All right, so let's get into your keys of the game here quick. But before we do that, I'll give a little overview of this game. The game is a 7 p.m. start on Saturday, October 14th. It's on BTN. The over-under is 40, where Michigan State is favored by 4 points. Weather-wise, right now, sitting here on Thursday morning, it looks like Saturday it'll be about a 90% chance of rain in the p.m. and a high of 58. If we extrapolate that out, you know, the evening is probably going to be on the cooler side. The low is going to be 41, so you're probably looking at a temperature somewhere around probably in the high 40s or really low 50s around game time.
Yeah, so about 50 degrees. I believe it's scattered showers if I can harness my inner Belinda Jensen.
Yes.
I'm not entirely sure what the policy is for umbrellas at the stadium. I'd imagine they won't let you bring them in, so make sure you bring some rain gear and monitor that forecast Saturday morning when you wake up to see what time the rain is going to come, if it is coming. So make sure that's in the back of your mind. But, yeah, let's get to my keys to the game. The first key to the game for me is Minnesota needs to find some explosive plays. I mean, we talk about it that coming into this Michigan State game, they're the 10th worst team in the country at explosive plays on offense. That's going to need to change. And when you look at Minnesota's offense, they're running at about a 69-31 split in terms of run to pass, which is nice. You know, as Luke would like to tell me, it's very nice.
Yes.
But the issue becomes in where Minnesota's running game is the 121st most explosive in the country, which is bottom 10. That's a big problem. Again, I understand that Smith and Brooks had their biggest runs of the season last week, but just a reminder that the other 30-plus carries, folks, didn't go over 10 yards. So you can't have these big boom plays and then the other 35-plus carries be busts. And that comes on offensive coordinator Kirk Shiroka. You know, we saw him work in a lot more jet action last week. We saw him work more pin and pull or just pulling guard actions. He's going to have to keep switching that up to keep this stout Michigan State defense, which we've talked about is performing at a very high level right now, off balance. That also means that Connor Rhode is going to have a game, or whatever Gopher quarterback is going to have or is going to be in there, they're going to have to be taking deep shots consistently throughout the game. I know that's one thing Derek Burns really wanted to get onto this podcast this week was Minnesota has to take deep shots if Michigan State's going to put 7 or 8 guys in the box, mm-hmm. because it's going to be wide open there. It's going to be cover one, cover zero, press man on the outside, all Tyler Johnson or Mark Williams or Brandon Lingan have to do is slip one tackle and they're going to be gone. Again, the issue is we talked about the Michigan State defense. They're the fifth toughest in the country against the explosive run and 14th toughest against the pass. And so Minnesota's going to have to probably get very tricky here. We saw Purdue pull out all the stops last week with some trickeration. I think Kirk Schrock is going to have to find it there. Second of all, they're going to have to win the turnover battle again. I know that they did it last week. They didn't come out on top. But Minnesota needs to make it 2 weeks in a row if Minnesota is going to have a shot at home here. Michigan State is susceptible to putting the ball on the ground a lot. They've already fumbled 9 times through 5 games. That's a lot. Their running backs, I believe the leading one is L.J. Scott. He's already lost 3 fumbles through 5 games. Brian Lewerke has also fumbled 4 times, and he's also thrown 2 interceptions. So Minnesota has forced 5 fumbles this season. They've forced 5 interceptions. They're going to have to force a few more under the lights on Saturday night. And the other half of this equation, again, the defense can do their part, but this relies on the right arm of Connor Rhoda and more particularly the processor in his mind when he's watching and reading a defense. Too many times last week we talked about it. He'd lock on early to his first read. He'd never look away. And Michigan State is absolutely going to tee off on him if they're going to do that, because they'll just sit in zone coverage, have their linebackers watch Rhoda, read his eyes, and there's a possibility of another pick six this week if Connor doesn't move off his first read. Connor Rhoda, we've talked about it as well, has 4 turnovers within the opponent's 30-yard lines through 5 games. That's very bad. And Minnesota, on all 4 of those possessions, needed to get points because they were key moments of the game. So If Connor is able to take care of the ball, especially in the red zone, Minnesota's going to have a chance. And then finally, I think Minnesota needs to get the crowd going early. You talked about it. It's a Saturday night game. It's October. And all that means it should be a beautiful evening for some Big Ten football. This crowd has been waiting. They've been yearning for something to get them going early in games. Now, I'm going to harness my inner Brian Body Calhoun here and hope that, he, you know, as Brian did against Wisconsin a few years ago at home, where he read that bubble screen to Alex Erickson and he took it early to the house. Like, if we can get a pick six here early on from someone potentially like Jacob Huff, or a big play from Tyler Johnson or Shannon Brooks, to get this Gopher crowd revved up and ready to go early, I think Minnesota's going to stand a good chance. Because as you mentioned, this is an over-under of 40, which basically means, with Michigan State being four-point favorites, they're thinking this game's going to be somewhere around Michigan State 21, Minnesota 17. So if Minnesota's able to get momentum on their side early, I think that's going to be good for them, and it's going to be good for that crowd that should be ready to go. They've had plenty of time to lubricate in the parking lot with a couple of adult beverages, and let's hope that this product on the field matches the amount of enthusiasm that this crowd wants to bring.
All right, so I guess I'll go first in predictions. One of the things that I wanted to highlight that you didn't touch into your keys of the game would be that Michigan State is incredibly effective at controlling field position. They're ninth in the country. The average start position for their opponents is their own 25. I would imagine, given the Gophers' inability to, you know, as we've discussed, have explosive plays, but even sustained drives, that doesn't bode well. So if Minnesota is going to have a chance to win, they're going to have to try to find a way to flip that field and be opportunistic, as you said, turning over the Spartans. I do think that Michigan State will prevail in this one. I'm going to guess probably a score of something like 17 to 10. Somewhere around there. Unfortunately, the Gophers will move to 3-3.
I'm not even as optimistic as you are. And again, I'm the one who's supposed to be viewing this through maroon and gold glasses, per se. So I'm not big on Minnesota. They're just so banged up in the secondary. They're going to be giving some guys some starts along the offensive line for the first time. We could see more red shirts burn in the secondary. Minnesota is very, very thin at wide receiver. And I just think that this doesn't match up well at all for Minnesota. I'm very nervous about that Michigan State offensive line and with their tight ends against Minnesota's front seven. Again, how does a true freshman in Nate Umler and Carter Coughlin at 245 pounds handle the second half of a Big Ten game where maybe it is 50 degrees and rainy? You know, it's kind of a little bit nasty out there, but that's Big Ten football. So I think it's Michigan State early and often, unless Minnesota's offense, and more specifically Connor Rota, can find something in the passing game. And I think that come that breakdown show with Derek Burns, we're potentially talking about a new quarterback. So I have Michigan State 27, Minnesota 10.
All right. So I want to thank everybody for listening.
Hold on. I want to plug a little bit of recruiting because Minnesota does have a visitor coming in this weekend.
I forget that's the lifeline of the program. You know,
it is the lifeblood. I mean, we talk about building depth. So Minnesota does have a former Kentucky defensive line commit by the name of Alex Riegelsperger coming in on an unofficial visit this weekend. He's coming in with his family starting Friday night, leaving Monday morning. He recently just decommitted from Kentucky last weekend. Now he's coming to Minnesota. There is optimism from both Riegelsperger and the Minnesota program via my sources that Minnesota could be adding a very good talent at the defensive line spot. So make sure you watch out for that, along with a couple of 2019 visitors who have offers. If you want to know more about that, check out Gopher Illustrated as well.
Riegelsperger, that's probably one of the all-name teams for sure. That's a complicated one.
It's nice. And, you know, we're mixing in a little bit of the all-name team into the program. More specifically, you know, Winston DeLatte-Boudere now gets to pair up with Alex Riegelsperger.
Yeah,
I'm just picturing Sid Hartman trying to pronounce all of these names.
I'm just predicting any color commentator, like, anywhere trying to manage any of those. They always butchered DeLatte-Boudere, so
Let's get out of here. You have a flight to catch.
I know. All right. So thanks for listening, everyone. If you enjoy the podcast, subscribe on iTunes and or Stitcher. Also rate it there. And don't forget to share it to a friend. We appreciate all of you listening. Go Gophers.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Member Week is here at Lowe's. Don't miss your chance to get up to 40% off hundreds of items like paint, faucets, vanities, doors, and more. Shop our exclusive deals happening in-store and online now through July 18th. Not a member? Join MyLowe's Pro Rewards for free today and get ready to save more. Lowe's, we help you save. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.